the different groups we've gone and seen, which we've seen almost all of them by now, but a lot of them, the coordinator on distribution days is up at, they're at 6 a.m. and goes home at 6 p.m. and it's, yeah. They're doing all of that for the members. And a lot of people do jump in and help, but I think they take on a lot of pressure themselves, and it's nice when they have a good core of people that take the weight off their shoulders a little bit.
Yeah. I'm always amazed on how much the coordinators do. They do pretty much, they don't do everything, but they do majority of, not the
and
work.
And for some, on top of, that's like on top of a full-time job, or on top of
their family
and life, and it's, I don't know how they sleep at night.
That was Quinn and Jessica, two students in Oregon State University's Human Development and Family Sciences program, who recently participated in an internship with Lynn Benton Foodshare focused on gleaners. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of the second season of Local Folks Podcast, where we meet the people who are a key reason why gleaning groups are so successful, the local folks who serve as coordinators.
On to the next bad, okay? We are gleaners. What does that mean we do?
We
glean. Does that mean we go out to the field the first day that there's a glean and we pick what we want and then we leave and we never go back to that glean again?
Nope.
It means we go to that field and we pick and we pick and we pick until that field is done, correct?
How many times do we have to?
So, just so you guys know, I gave this same lecture at the coordinators meeting Tuesday to every coordinator of Linden Foodshare. It is very embarrassing, and it is very hard to keep donors when we have 5 people out of 14 groups show up on a glean, or 3 people out of 14 groups show up on a glean. Now, if I'm giving you those numbers, that means North Sandian gleaners did not represent even our group well.
Well, it's you take the weight of all the food we bring in, especially the bread, the meats, and all this that we get from food, Lane Benton Foodshare. Okay, we get that stuff from Safeway. All that comes out to I think it was $1.69 a pound. So we have to turn that weight into money, then we turn it around and put it on our tax purposes.
Okay, so let's say, for example, you get 150 pounds of food from Safeway. Then you guys would
break it down to $1.69 a pound,
and then you'd say, okay, so now we—that's what we would then say we got
right
to as income,
from to IRS. Anything and everything, even the waste has to be weighed. So we have bread here at the end of the, say, Sunday. It all has to leave, so we have to weigh it as it goes out. Okay. Everything weighs in, weighs out.
What's up, Cookie? What was that phone call? What was
the Benton County Fair? They called. They wanted to know if we wanted to partner this year. They'd heard about us through Love Inc. and different stuff that we did around town, and to get people to stand at the gate in the morning and take in tickets, and in the evening. And they will give us a donation for doing this.
Oh, cool.
She got my email. She's going to send a little contract that I'll sign and get back to her.
And then folks from the gleaning organization will then volunteer at the fair.
Right.
And then there'll be a donation to...
At the end of the fair.
At the end of the fair. Now, will that be a financial donation?
Yes.
We just heard from Sandra Parker, Jim Templeton, and Cookie Johnston, coordinators of the North Santiam, South Benton County, and Mary's River Gleaners, respectively. And I would like us to take a minute to reflect on what those three quotes imply about the role of the coordinator in supporting the work that gleaners do. From dealing with important and sometimes difficult issues, to managing the day-to-day operation of their organizations, to serving as a contact person for the group, coordinators are crucial to the continued success of their organizations. From what I have seen, Being a coordinator is very much like managing a business, with one important exception. Coordinators are volunteers and are not paid for all they do, and they do a lot. So how does someone become a coordinator? Here are Jim from South Benton County Gleaners and Cookie from Mary's River Gleaners talking about the circumstances that led them to become coordinators of their groups.
Well, the first thing, I was asked to go get food at Tangent, you know, because nobody had a vehicle at that time to go get it. So I went and got the food. Well, I took it to the location where it was at. And what happened is I become coordinator. Well, there was one coordinator. He kind of had to go to prison. So it became my son. And then my son said he didn't like the way things were going. So mm-hmm. he stepped out. Mm-hmm. Then I stepped in. And that's where I'm at mm-hmm. this time. So I've been here, I think, about 5 years now.
Okay. As the coordinator?
Yep.
But to start off with, if you wouldn't mind, just a little bit of a biography. How did you get here to be the coordinator of a gleaning group in Corvallis, Oregon?
Well, I came out to Oregon on vacation. I had 8 weeks coming. I had to take at least 4 so I wouldn't lose them. We drove in Oregon. I told my husband I wasn't going back. Oregon was just too beautiful, so here I am. We spent the first 6 years in Bend, Oregon, and then my husband acquired a job here in Corvallis. I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure and a few other problems that we won't go into. And so I decided I'm just sitting at home looking dumb, gaining weight, and feeling sorry for myself. Get out there and do something. And I'd heard of the gleaning program here in Corvallis, and I came over and joined it. I started out as a volunteer, which I still am, arranging vegetables and doing whatever I could do to help, delivering food to people. And that's basically it. That's how I started. And it became quite fulfilling. I enjoyed it.
Jim and Cookie's stories of how they became coordinators are very similar to all the coordinators I talked with. Initially, folks join a group out of necessity and a desire to help others, and become coordinators because they see a need and step up to fill it. They are elected to the position, and depending on the group's bylaws, stand for re-election every 1, 2, or 3 years. If a coordinator leaves before their term is completed, then the group's board of directors can appoint an interim coordinator until the next scheduled election. But just what is it that coordinators do for their organizations?
Susan calls us, says we have tomatoes out on Kiger Island. I get on the phone and call. Can I count on you? Can I count on you? And it's people with pickups, too, we need.
Getting back to the paperwork, now we have the Fresh Alliance paper, we have the monthly report paper, we have the mileage sheet. We have the store sheets where you have to write down each store and in each category put the amount that you've gotten from each store.
What it is that the 3 stores that I pick up, we pick up a lot of vegetables. Instead of, because a lot of people here can't eat all that vegetables. So what I do is I share that with Harrisburg.
Oh, so sometimes gleaning organizations, you guys...
We share with each other. And what it is they picked up the KFC. So we pick up one of the KFCs and they pick the other KFCs, which is on a Thursday, they pick up. Well, then I pick up on Sunday because that's the way I distribute out of here. Mm-hmm. So it works out just perfect for the KFC.
Great. That's great.
during the membership meeting. That is something that can be brought up. I don't know if you can. Next year.
I was going to say, I don't think you can apply now because.
No, you can't. It's too late.
Yeah, because.
So but have for to next year, that would be something that you guys could bring up as part of the board.
Right.
Make the suggestion, and I would start working on it right then.
Yeah.
Just like if you guys are going to do the Jamboree Cafe, well, that's kind of our baby, but also you have the Haunted House. All these things that need to be started in January.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the new board's going to have to start working on immediately. Because those are big money makers. The Jamboree Cafe, $1,000, come on.
And baskets and all the stuff like that, too.
But
do we have the stuff for that nobody's making baskets for?
That was Trish from Philomath Gleaners, Cookie from Mary's River Gleaners, Jim from South Benton County Gleaners, and Tracy from Fair Share Gleaners. I think it is fair to say that coordinators do whatever it takes to help their members gather and distribute needed food and firewood. From scheduling and monitoring field gleans, wood gleans, and food pickup, through serving as the point person for their group, to long-term planning and fundraising, to dealing with issues and problems, coordinators are crucial to their group's success. As Quinn and Jessica said at the beginning of this episode, given the demands of the job, how do coordinators sleep at night? From what I have seen, coordinators can draw on support and help from several sources. The first is the technical assistance provided by Lynn Benton Food Share, which we will consider in depth in Episode 6. Another source of support is fellow coordinators. We've already seen how groups work together to schedule gleans and store pickups, but the coordinators of all 14 groups meet on the first Wednesday of each month to share ideas and information, to plan, and to participate in training and other learning activities facilitated by Lynn Benton Food Share. These meetings are an important venue for coordinators to talk with and provide support to each other. Let's listen to Betty from Harrisburg Gleaners and Pam from Alsea Valley Gleaners as they share important information with their colleagues at a monthly meeting.
Document, document, document. I tell anybody, if you have a problem, you need to bring somebody. I'm never going to be alone with a person one-on-one. I learned that years and years and years ago. I'm always going to have Kathy or another board member, and we're going to take documents, I mean documentation, and I've come to... This is a very handy tool, and I have a recorder on it, and I will record the conversation so there can never be anything, well, you didn't tell me that, or you said, no, I've got it right here, and when you came and you visited our site, that's exactly what I did, and the conversations that took place there, so they can't say one way or another that that wasn't said, or that what this is what was said. It's right here.
And you said, and you let everybody know you're recording.
That I was recording it. And so that could be, if you are having some problems with whatever, you tell them, I'm going to record this. And so if there ever you have your documentation right there, and then get it off of that, put it on a CD or a DVD, and get it to your permanent site. So you have your documentation. So that
another thing, when you say it, when you have the recorder, you say you're telling the person to record it, say your name and say Kathy's name, we're both here. But if you just record it, you don't say any other names on there. It's kind of, it's an iffy thing there.
It's not admissible.
You need to document two people are there plus
right. Right. So, but it keeps you safe.
Yeah. Sure.
I did talk to the lady from the Justice Department yesterday.
Okay.
So if we're keeping track of the poundings that we're giving to other groups, we can deduct that. We have to count that we took it in, but we deduct that on our form that it went to another group, so mm-hmm. that comes off our poundage. So, therefore, all of that bread that I've been sharing with Wild Pork Food Bank and Alsea Food Bank, I do not have to pay taxes on.
Can you tell me
it's not taxes,
yeah.
It's revenue dues.
That's what they call it, like our
share contributions.
Could you explain?
I don't
count it for keeping it for ourselves.
And last but not least, coordinators get a lot of help and assistance from group members. Each group has their own unique structure, but in general, they all have additional officers, including a co-coordinator, a secretary, and a treasurer. In addition, groups may have gleaning coordinators, food pickup or route coordinators, wood coordinators, fundraising coordinators, etc. These are all elected positions and help manage all the moving pieces groups have to deal with if coordinators can do something which is challenging for anyone in a leadership position, delegate tasks and responsibilities.
One thing with the gleaning group, though, that there's still issues about is giving up the control. The Burnett, you can't go 60 hours a week and do everything yourself. But a lot of them, you know, they'll say, we need help, nobody will help me, and I need help, I can't do this all. But they won't let anybody take on any of that.
They have a hard time delegating and giving control. That's true.
I can't even do it because they don't know how to do it. So, you know, that's what's going to happen. They're going to give out too much food this week. you know, you need to take a day off.
Take care of yourself.
But a lot of times, they don't want to give up control at all. So that's kind of a problem.
That was Susan James, Gleaning Program Director for Lynn Benton Food Share, talking about the number one danger facing all coordinators, burnout. After spending a better part of a year with these folks, I agree. When you're a compassionate, caring person, it's easy to ignore your own needs in the service of others. And part of Susan's work is to help coordinators learn how to delegate tasks to other group members. One of the questions I've asked every coordinator I've talked with is, why do you volunteer so much of your time to serve as a coordinator? And the answers I've received, I think, can best be summarized by the following quote from Cookie Johnston of the Mary's River Gleaners.
Gleaning is an organization that I think everyone from the president down to the lowest person in the United States should get into. To learn how to give and to receive, not monetary anything, not respectability, none of that. When I say receive the feeling that you get from being able to help someone else who might be less fortunate than you, and some might be more fortunate to you. But to just get that feeling. I don't think people experience that enough. I think people are so wrapped up and tied up in themselves and what's going on in their lives, they don't have a chance to open a book and read the pages. And I'm a firm believer, you cannot tell a book by its cover. You've got to talk to that person and find out what's inside. The ugliest, most disfigured person could walk up to you and you're like pulling back in disgust because this person is so ugly and disfigured. But when that person opened their mouths, you might end up in heaven. That's what I feel when I glean. That's what this program is about to me. It's not about respect. It's not about being recognized. It's not about being known in the town or having people like me. Because, honey, I wasn't born with a twin. I was born by myself. And when I go, I'm going by myself. And that's just plain old down earth talking there, you know. And so it's about that feeling that you get. Sometimes I know I'm by no means rich, but I feel sometimes like the richest person in the world when someone tells me, thank you for doing this.
Every gleaner I have talked with has said something similar about why they work so hard at what they do. They are all generous, kind-hearted people who believe in helping others, and I think that belief is what sustains them and helps them be successful in spite of all the difficulties they face. But as important as good intentions, dedication, intelligence, and hard work are, they are not sufficient to sustain gleaners over the long haul. Each group is a recognized nonprofit organization and subject to all the regulations and requirements that designation entails. In addition, because they handle and distribute food, they have to adhere to all state, federal, and local food handling regulations and guidelines. Add into the mix the need to raise money and all of the record keeping and documentation that fundraising as a nonprofit entails, and I think it's safe to say that these local folks need some help. And that help is provided by Lynn Benton Foodshare. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll return for episode 6, airing on December 1st, to spend some time with the local folks at Lynn Benton Foodshare and learn how their skilled and targeted technical assistance helps and sustains gleaners as they do the amazing work they do.
KBOO Portland.